The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's community radio, and you're listening to Stuff, a show about tips, hints, hacks, a joke or two. Listen in every Thursday morning. Here we go. That was sick.
Good morning, everyone. I am Lynn.
The views and opinions of this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent WTBR, its management, its supporters, its programmers, or its sponsors.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to speak over.
That's
you.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Lynn.
And Bev.
And together we do a show called
Stuff.
And we are here every Thursday morning, 8:30 in the morning, WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and our sister station in Lee,
WSBR 88.1 in Lee.
And we're so happy to be here. We hope that you have your coffee or your tea or you're driving in your car and you're tuning in.
And you're ready for us.
Yep, having some laughs, maybe giving you some good advice. We also want to remind you that we have guests on our show.
And we'd love to have guest hosts come on our show.
Absolutely. It's easy. We have guests that come here, do not bring anything.
And they're still...
Do great.
They do. Because they feed off of us and we feed off of them.
It's great.
Sounds like a shark or something.
It does, but that's what they are.
Yeah.
They are. They're good.
They are.
They're sharp sharks. They're sharp, sharp sharks.
Yeah, we're getting in trouble too early here.
Quote of the day. I like this one a lot. Lower your expectations of Earth. This isn't heaven, so don't expect it to be. Max Lucado.
Oh.
That's
a good one.
That's right. There you go. Want me to do another one?
Yeah.
People who are wrapped up in themselves make small packages.
Oh. That's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that everyone has known someone in their lives that is all wrapped up in themselves, and it just doesn't mean a thing.
Nope. What do you call a poodle in the summertime is number one. I've got two riddles. What do you call a poodle in the summertime? Number two, what is bright orange and sounds like a parrot? That's number two.
I think I know number two. Okay. There's a third one?
Nope. That's it. It's got two.
Bright orange and sounds like a parrot.
Yep. And I've got, oh my God, this is heavy. Oh my, I've got the,
big, big book of answers.
So we're going to find out some answers.
That's a big book. It's a big book. That took a lot of strength to pick that up.
It's a tome.
Okay. I've got all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
I've got a joke here. And I sent it to my husband because my husband is a very, very literal person. So, for instance, if I say, Mark, can you get me a drink? He'll say, yeah. And I don't get it.
And then he doesn't get the drink?
No, because I didn't ask him to. I asked him if he could. And he said, yeah, he could. So you have to say,
I love it.
And even when I say, will you, I get scared that he'll say, yeah, I will, but not now.
You know what the word to say is?
Get it?
Would you?
would you?
Mm-hmm. Would you get me a drink?
Yes. So when I read this, I thought of Mark and I sent it to him right away. This is the programmer's wife. The wife of a programmer says, go to the store and get a loaf of bread. If they have eggs, get a dozen.
Oh, no.
The programmer comes back with 12 loaves of bread. Is that not just so cool?
I could almost see that coming.
I think that is so funny. And I think, too, it depends on if you write it down on a piece of paper, where you put the commas. But she didn't. If you write it on paper, go to the store and get a loaf of bread, period. If they have eggs, comma, get a dozen. But she didn't write it down. She just said it. Periods and commas. You can't do that when you're talking. Unless you say, period.
I'm trying to think it out through. And no, you're right. And I think we should move on because that was pretty much case. Okay. All right. All right. All right. I have the big book of answers.
Okay.
And I've got a couple of chapters marked. And between the lines of nursery rhymes. Haven't you always wondered about nursery rhymes?
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes I do because I've heard different things about nursery rhymes that are disturbing.
Like, who was little Jack Horner?
He sat in a corner.
What do you know about him, though?
He liked pie.
At a time when
he was bad. Oh, he got punished.
At a time when Henry VIII was confiscating church property, one monk appeased the king with a gift of a special Christmas pie. Inside the crust were deeds to 12 manor houses secretly offered in exchange for his monastery. The steward who carried the pie to London was Jack Horner, who along the way extracted a plum deed for himself. It was for Mell's Manor, where Horner's descendants still live to this day.
What?
Yep. That's how he came. Little Jack Horner.
Sat in a corner.
Eating pudding and pie or something like that.
He stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy am I. That's the whole thing. That's really interesting.
Because he stole.
Why would they put deeds in a pie?
Because that was a way to hide it.
That is really cool. I can't wait to hear more of that stuff.
Kiddo.
All right. Want to hear a weird sport?
Sure.
This was an Olympic sport. This was in 2007. Ear pulling.
It ear was pulling?
Ear pulling. There was an ear pulling contest at the 2007 World Eskimo Indian Olympics in Anchorage, Alaska.
Okay.
This is a game. I actually had to print the picture so I could explain it. The competitors face each other. Their legs are connected to each other, but they're like a foot apart.
Okay.
A string about 2 feet long is then looped around their ears. The left ear goes to the right ear goes to the left ear on the opponent.
Okay.
They're opposite, okay? Then the contestants do what the game implies. They pull. They pull until one contestant gives into the pain and the string becomes separated from their ear. Ear pull can cause damage to the ear. And bleeding is common. Ear pull would fall into the category of a game that some would not like to try, but your mileage may vary. I don't understand what that means. They pull.
I almost forgot what it was we were talking about.
You look at each other. You have strings on your ears connected, my left ear to your right ear, your right ear to my left ear, and you stand and face each other, and you pull until... You're bleeding, you're in pain, you quit, or it slips off your ear.
Oh, my God.
Is that
bizarre.
Yeah, I'll say. It's really bizarre.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. I've got more.
What is the origin of the children's rhyme, eeny, meeny, miny, mo?
Eeny, meeny, trying to choose the origin.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo is a children's rhyme where, with each word, the person counting or reciting points at one of a group of players to establish who will be it. The ritual was handed down from the Druids, who used the same counting formula to choose human sacrifices.
Oh.
The precise meanings and origins of the words eeny, meeny, miny, and mo are unknown. The theory that the rhyme is from an ancient Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, or Welsh numbering system can't be proven.
Hmm.
The rhyme was first written down in 1855. For example, Hannah, Manna, Mana, Mike. I don't know what that part means. But that's what you would say. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Hannah, Manna. Hannah?
Mona, Mike.
Mona, Mike. Hannah, Manna, Mona, Mike. Is that another way of saying eeny, meeny, miny, mo?
Right.
In another language?
No.
Hannah, Manna, Mona, Mike.
That's the way it was first written down.
So eeny, meeny, miny, mo is another language.
I would say not.
Well, then you say it started somewhere. That's not English. That's their counting system.
They said it was handed down from the Druids, the Irish.
So how would you say that in Irish?
I don't know.
How would you say eeny, meeny, miny, mo? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
That's a Southern Ireland if I ever heard one. I don't think so, but just the idea that saying the counting formula to choose human sacrifices.
No. Oh, my gosh.
See, the Druids were not the sweet and gentle kind of person you think of. They did some pretty naughty things.
And again, I don't understand how people can even think that way, a human sacrifice. I don't even know how they could think that way. It's crazy. Hey, want to do a new sport called cheese rolling?
Cheese
rolling. It was
You get to check your cheese?
Cooper's Hill, May 29th, 2006 in Gloucester, England. It's another kind of racing you don't see every day. It's near Gloucester in England. The game is the game that is often hilarious for spectators and painful for participants. A tradition at least 200 years old, participants race down a very steep hill, an uneven hill, chasing after a round double Gloucester cheese that can weigh up to 9 pounds and travel up to 70 miles an hour. Whoever gets to the bottom wins the cheese. As you can probably imagine, participants are not on their feet for a great part of the race. Instead, they're leaping, tumbling, rolling down the hill at pretty high speeds. Rugby players wait at the bottom of the hill to stop participants' momentum. They have to stop them from continuing to roll. The result, there are significant injuries.
My God.
And it's debatable whether it's worth it.
So I would say no.
Why would they roll the cheese down? Why don't you just run down and try to get to the end? Really? Wait, this is a game. Oh, I guess it's just that the cheese is the prize. You get a 9-pound hunk of cheese. I love cheese.
Not 9 pounds worth.
No, but do you like cheese?
Depends.
Do you ever go into Guido's and just go in to try the cheese samples?
No.
And try to act like you're going to buy some cheese.
Guido's, if you're listening.
$26 a pound.
she's telling you.
I'm hungry right now, too. We didn't eat. Okay.
What is the origin of Mother Goose's nursery rhymes?
Mm-mm.
Most nursery rhymes were never intended for children. For centuries, these ballads came from bawdy folk songs or spoofs on social issues of the day,
mm-hmm.
often sung or recited as limericks in local taverns. Nursery wasn't used to describe them until efforts were made in the 19th century to clean them up as children's lullabies. And Mother Goose actually became, in 1697, from a writer named Charles Perrault. He published the tales of the Mother Goose collection. So he's the guy who made it all up.
Who made it all up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why would they make up things like Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water? Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. That's not pleasant.
Let's see if I can find one of those.
That's not pleasant at all.
Let me see. I don't have that one here. I could tell you.
All right. While you're looking, poodle clipping.
Poodle clipping.
Poodle clipping. In the 1908 Olympics, it seemed to have an affinity for unusual events, and poodle clipping is no different. It involved 128 competitors performing in front of a crowd of 6,000 people. It was not a competition to see who could groom the dogs their best. Rather, the competitors had to clip the fur off as many poodles as they could in 2 hours. So the competition was you have 2 hours to clip as many poodles as possible. 2 hours, and you have 128 competitors. How many dogs do you have to have? You have to have a lot of dogs.
At least one for everybody.
Well, you got to have more than that because
at least one.
At least one. So there's 128. And then you have to clip for 2 hours as many dogs as possible. It was a test event, meaning it didn't have full Olympic status.
Ah.
But it remains one of the more unusual events in Olympic history.
Kind of. When did they go from poodles to sheep?
You can make a sweater out of sheep.
What you could do with poodle hair.
I don't know.
Poodle.
My son actually was talking to me yesterday because he has labradoodles.
Yeah.
And he said poodles were cut the way they were cut for reasons of fighting or hair on their chest for protection, hair on their tail so when they swim the tail is up and they can see the little ball, hair on the feet, shaving the legs so that they have less resistance, but I think, is he making this up? Because he's good at that. He's good at trying to trick me.
I got to look that up.
Marie is the one that we need to ask. Maria. Yeah, Marie. You are assigned looking up why poodles, love the music in the background, why poodles are cut the way they're cut.
Okay.
Because he said they're hunting dogs. All right.
Who was Humpty Dumpty?
He sat on the wall. He was an egg.
Actually, the nursery rhyme in which Humpty Dumpty has a great fall dates back to 1493 and refers to King Richard III of England. Richard had a hump on his back.
Oh, gee.
And had been dumped by his mount in the thick of battle, where he cried, "My kingdom for a horse!" before being slain.
Oh.
The last line, couldn't put Humpty together again, was originally couldn't put Humpty up again, meaning on his horse.
On his horse, because he was
poignard.
So they couldn't, and we do that with our kids.
Yeah.
Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again.
That's why they say that the nursery rhymes were not really intended for children.
No. No.
No. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star shares a melody with three other nursery rhymes, but which two classical composers also use the melody? Mozart and Haydn incorporated the melody into two of their classical compositions, in Surprise Symphony Number 94 and Theme and Variations.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are.
I heard...
Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. She's shutting me off.
I'm threatening to set a...
Oh, my gosh.
I did not keep track of time.
Oh, what time is it?
It's well, time we started... to move on to another sport.
We started late. Another sport?
You have a sport?
I do. But we have a break.
Not yet.
Not yet. Do I have another sport? I don't have another sport, but I have another joke.
Okay.
The lost luggage. A man calls the airline customer service desks and asks, how long does a flight from New York to Chicago take? The agent replies, just a minute. Thank you, says the man, and hangs up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Duh.
The lost luggage part two. The same man calls the airline again and asks, how long does a flight from New York to Boston take? The agent replies, just a minute. Thanks, says the man, and he hangs up again. Stupid. And I looked for part three.
And there's no part three?
Hoping that this would come together.
Yeah.
There's no part three. There's no part three. So that's it. Yeah.
Well, he's going to be pretty upset when he gets to the airport.
And the blonde in the library. The blonde goes into a library and cheerfully says, hi, I'm here to see the doctor. The librarian, confused, quietly replies, this is a library. The blonde, realizing her mistake, whispers, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm here to see the doctor. Isn't that good? Blondie.
If you're a real blonde, that hurts.
Okay.
Everyday customs and conventions. Moving on. Why do baby boys wear blue and girls wear pink?
I don't know.
The custom of dressing baby boys in blue clothes began around 1400. Blue was the color of the sky and therefore heaven. So it was believed that the color warded off evil spirits. Male children were considered a greater blessing than females.
Oh.
So it was assumed that demons had no interest in girls.
Ooh.
It took another 100 years before girls were given red as a color, which was later softened to pink.
I like the pink better.
I know.
I wonder why they were given red. It doesn't say.
No, they weren't given a color at all.
But why did red show up? From what reason? What was the
another,
why?
It took 100 years. That doesn't say.
Doesn't say. It's funny because when we think about it, we think blue and pink are perfect. But if it had been red and purple, we would say, oh, red and purple are perfect.
Yep. Yep.
Pink and blue. Interesting stuff. Shocking and strange medical treatments that we just don't want to hear about.
Oh, no, I'm afraid of you.
Yeah. So in Egypt, Greece, and Rome, and in ancient Indian yogic and Chinese special practices, this treatment was believed to have therapeutic properties and was used to treat a variety of ailments, including kidney and liver problems. And okay. You ask, what is it? It is drinking urine.
Ooga! Ooga!
Now,
ooga, ooga, ooga. I know urine cleans things well.
So... are you back to our cleaning, make your own do-it-yourself cleaning products?
Well, there is a thing that...
Oh, no.
I'm not going to go into detail.
Oh, no.
But urine is useful.
For jellyfish bites on your foot?
No, for cleaning.
For cleaning?
Yeah, I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to look it up or write a poem about it.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee. WTBR FM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
So this is the second half of our show. I'm Lynn.
And Bev.
And this is part two of Stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we have an email address if you would like to send us answers to the not answers, but we've asked you to look things up.
Yeah, anything your heart desires.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that means that I should tell you what it is.
Yes.
Stuffingforus at gmail.com.
So do you know what?
What?
The Romans cleaned their teeth with urine, animal and human, because they thought it made their teeth white. They also use it to dissolve grease and dirt. It was used to clean everything from clothes to floors and even to clean the streets in Rome.
So what did they do about the smell?
Well, I think they didn't bathe a lot back then, so they were probably used to... Yeah, you know, they just covered themselves with more clothes and more perfume because they didn't think about... They didn't bathe.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-mm.
So we have
riddles.
We have two more riddles. What do you call a poodle in the summertime? And what is bright orange and sounds like a parrot?
All righty then. And just to let you know that the reason urine is good for cleaning is because it's high in ammonia.
Ah, okay.
No, thank you. Mm-mm-mm.
I don't think I need to go that far.
Mm-mm-mm.
So why do we say hello when we answer the telephone?
Never thought about it.
The first word used to answer the phone was the nautical greeting ahoy, because the first regular phone system was in the maritime state of Connecticut. Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor, answered with the Gaelic hoy, but it was Thomas Edison's greeting of hello, an exclamation of surprise dating back to the Middle Ages that caught on.
Oh.
And so today we answer with hello.
That's interesting. So he was just speaking hello, because that's what you say to people when you see them, and he was surprised, like, hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Yellow.
Okay.
Yellow. So... the urine thing really is making me not very hungry anymore. So they had a thing called mummy powder.
Mummy powder?
Mummy powder was a medicine made from powdered mummies. Yep. In medieval Europe, it was believed to have a therapeutic properties, and was used to cure things like wounds, headaches, digestive problems. The use of mummy powder was based on the belief that mummies had special healing powers and was a reflection of the high value placed on mummies during that time.
That's why they're dead. I mean, I know. How does being dead give you healing properties?
So, he died of something. Why do you want to sprinkle that on, on yourself?
Oh, my God.
I'm
still thinking of the urine, and I'm wondering if it really does make your teeth white.
No. If I come in here in a few weeks and you are like bright, shiny, reflecting, I'm going to know what you did. And you know what I'm going to do? Leave. I'm going to walk out the door and say, she's off her rocker. Oh, the phone in here is off the hook. I wonder if anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about.
There's a real phone. It's a telephone.
Real telephone with a handle. I wonder why that was like that. I wonder if somebody was listening to us the whole time. Okay. All right.
What do we say goodbye so long when leaving someone?
Goodbye so long. Farewell. Avida saying good night.
I knew that would start something. The word goodbye is a derivative of the early English greeting, God be with you.
Uh-huh.
Or as it was said then, God be with ye.
Yeah.
Over the years, its abbreviated written form and pronunciation became goodbye. As for so long, it came to
farewell, avida saying good night.
Britain, with soldiers who had spent time in Arabic-speaking countries. I'm kind of mute. Okay.
Did you mute me?
Not yet. Where the perfect expression of goodwill is salam. The unfamiliar word to the English men sounded like, and then became salam. So long.
So long.
Salam. So long.
Hmm. So fast forward 1,000 years. What kind of changes like that will happen? You know, things like that, where we might say, I love you now. And in 1,000 years, it's just Lou. Lou. You know what I mean? It gets shortened?
This book has already been written and published, and so they can't tell me what's going to happen.
I'm just kind of, predicting in a way.
Smooch me.
Yeah, but we'll all be not here, so. Which smush me?
Smooch.
Smooch? Smooch me? Like kiss me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, smooch me. Yeah, smooch me. It's like it's like Cheechit, not you. Aunt too. All right. Smooch me. I like that. I like smooch me. Oh my gosh, I can't forget it. I have to write it down. All right, say something because I'm writing.
Okay.
Smooch.
Why are men's buttons on the right and women's on the left?
It depends on when the surgeon does the little twist. When they have to do, you can have an innie or an outie.
You're talking about men's buttons, not belly buttons.
I don't know what happened. Why are the? That is a very, very interesting question, and I am really looking forward to hearing the answer.
Decorative buttons first appeared around 2000 BC, but they weren't commonly used as fasteners until the 16th century. Because most men are right-handed and generally dress themselves, they found it easier to fasten buttons from right to left. However, wealthy women were dressed by servants, who found it easier to fasten their mistress's clothes if the buttons were on her left, and it became convention and never changed.
Oh, first of all, I didn't know that most men are right-handed. Second of all, I'm shocked that it says most men dressed themselves. I want to know what the other men did.
They had dressers.
they had dressers.
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy. And I know women had dressers. You know, you see in the movies, the women are always getting someone helping them pull the corset and all that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. You know what? Now that I'm thinking of it, when I watch a Hallmark movie and they have something in the past, the men are getting dressed by someone, putting the jacket on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's just the ultimate of spoiled. doesn't.
I wouldn't want anybody to dress me.
No.
No.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. Not, nope. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. Nope. So, hey, you want to make your nighttime routine more cozy? You're sleeping more cozy? Well, Reader's Digest posted these things that you can do to make sleeping more cozy. And the top one, according to the readers, was sleep in the buff. That's it. Did that wake you up? Yes, it did. It says it's a doctor. His name is Dr. Who. It's not about being sexy, he said. It's Dr. Who. It's not about being sexy, but it's more about regulating your body temperature. We don't want to overheat as we're sleeping through the night, says Dr. Who. The best way to ensure that is to mimic what our ancestors did back in the day, which was not wearing PJs.
Didn't they have fur?
I don't know if they slept in it. I think they
no,
went.
No, I mean.
Oh, the people had fur? Like monk, like apes? Like animals?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Wouldn't
you think in colder seasons that they would
wrap themselves in fur?
No. Cover fur.
Cover up? Grow fur? People?
I've seen some hairy men. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that there are some. Yeah, yeah.
So
I don't know. I'm just saying, Doctor Who.
Okay.
What Doctor Who said? He said you can also buy bamboo pajamas.
I've got bamboo sheets.
They're nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know they made bamboo pajamas.
They're like silky.
Yeah. That would help regulate your body temperature.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Why does breaking a wishbone ensure good luck? 2,400 years ago, because roosters heralded the sunrise and hens squawked before laying an egg, the Etruscans thought they were soothsayers because the scared fowls... No, it's not scared. I did it. Because the sacred fowl's collarbone resembled a human groin, it was believed to have special powers and was called a wishbone. The Romans introduced the custom of two people pulling on the wishbone to see whom luck favored, and the winner was said to have gotten a lucky break.
A lucky break. I don't really follow how they...
The logic?
No. Don't follow the logic. Not at all. I don't know what it has to do with a groin.
That must be powerful.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Special powers.
Yeah. Hey, so when you're buying sheets, you know how it says the thread count on the outside on the on the package?
Yeah.
It says... Yeah, that's what it says. It says choose breathable natural fibers like organic cotton or linen. It says that the thread count matters. I'm trying to take pieces of this. It's a long article.
Uh-huh.
These materials, which are organic cotton or linen, sheets that have what's labeled as GOTS, GOTS, or OEKO text. Never heard of those, but these are certifications on the sheets. GOTS, GOTS, and OEKO text. These materials help regulate temperature and humidity, which is essential for uninterrupted sheets. She says avoid synthetic blends or heavily treated fabrics, which can trap heat and off-gas chemicals. I don't even know what an off-gas chemical is. It says the best thing to do for sheets. I know she's shaking her head. Use cotton.
If you use sheets.
If you use sheets. 300 to 400 thread cotton.
Those are the tightest weave.
It says it might sound low, but it's actually ideal. It offers the right balance of softness and breathability without compromising air flow. You need the air flow.
Yep. But the lowered count has a better air flow.
Yes, you got more air than the... I always thought the 1,000 count was best. I did, because they're silkier.
That's like
It's tighter. Tighter woven.
But boy, you're not going to be able to breathe.
Right. I didn't know any of this. Oh. I didn't know that this was 300 to 400 was better, and I didn't know bamboo pajamas. Oh, I'm going to look that up. Bamboo. I've got to write that down. Schmuck
Why
me.
Is
schmooch schmooch? What is it? Smooch me.
Smooch me.
Smooch me.
Why is a horseshoe thought to bring good luck?
Oh, well, I love horses. I don't know. Maybe it has to do with their running, if they ran fast and you got a memento.
A horseshoe's charm comes from the legend of St. Dunstan, who, because of his talent as a blacksmith, was asked by the devil to shoe his cloven hoof. St. Dunstan agreed, but in carrying out the task, he caused the devil such pain that he was able to make him promise never to enter a house that has a horseshoe hanging above the doorway. Thus, from the Middle Ages, the horseshoe has been considered good luck.
I have a horseshoe hanging in my office. It was my dad's. Well, I mean, he didn't wear it.
So the devil will never go in there. That went by me so fast. Are you sure?
I'm sure. Oh. I can. Yeah, okay. Okay. So I do. I have a horseshoe. I have an office that has a lot of horse stuff because of my dad.
Well, the more I hear about this man.
Oh, he was a horse guy at one time, and he had a horse hanging in his barn. No, he had a horseshoe hanging in his barn, and I have that horseshoe. Hanging on the walls, which my dad did not wear. No.
All right. Okay. All right. Speaking of nothing in... I have a couple of riddles. And what do you call a poodle in the summertime?
I have no idea. You call him, your dog, fetch.
You call him a hot dog.
A hot dog.
That's the one. And what is bright red? No. What is bright orange and sounds like a parrot?
A parrot.
No.
Okay.
But you may be right.
Am I right?
Some parrots are orange.
Maybe.
Well, the answer they say is a carrot.
A carrot?
It's bright orange, and it sounds like parrot. Carrot.
Oh, brother.
I'm not going to do those anymore.
I like those. Those are real twisty, you have to think.
But they're groaners.
But if we do them more, then our brains will begin to adjust to how to figure them out. Maybe. All right. Hey, everybody, this is the end of our show, and we thank you for listening. We will see you next time.
Or hear you next time, or something along those lines.
That's right.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts and not those of PCTV or WTBR.